I'm anxious to talk with you, catch up on a few things, but as always, want to make sure I start with whatever is on your top plate. What you got? Anything you want to start with?
No, I mean I'll defer to what your agenda.
All right. What is your non-review month? What's your September non-review month topic this month, September? What are you talking to your clients about who aren't getting a review?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I have not been able to put into place a standardized topic across the board. So what I've been kind of doing is trying to find a topic that's relevant to that person, which usually occurs a day or two before the call is scheduled for. And it hasn't really been the most effective process.
I believe that. You're making it too hard.
Yeah.
What you're looking for, and don't feel alone here, I'm finding that as much as we talk about non-review topics, or I talk about non-review topics, I guess FA's got so much going on with Supernova and running a practice that it gets overlooked. You've got to you find something that has general applicability to all of your clients. I got an email from a Morgan Stanley fella the other day he's in Decatur, Illinois, and there was a new report that Morgan Stanley had put out that was going to be his review topic for the month. Now, I'm looking here to see if I can see if, I don't know if I pulled that up in anticipation of this call or not. I didn't. But I forget the topic, but it was really, really good. So I will send that to you. Well, let me just see if I can find it here real quick. Bear with me a second. Okay. The name of the piece, the Morgan Stanley piece, it's the overall title is Client Conversations.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a piece like that?
Maybe, but I don't remember.
Okay, and the title of this specific one, and again, I'll send it to you, is Do Presidential Elections Impact Markets?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Sure.
Yeah. And the bottom line is, and again, it's always, in my opinion, difficult to talk with clients about politics. Without naming the parties, my dad had a financial advisor in 1968 who he said, "Who are you voting for?" And he wasn't voting for the person that my dad was going to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad moved his account.
Wow.
So it's always touchy, but this is it's just facts. It talks about the third year of a presidential term is usually the best. It talks about
it's funny, Rob. What's funny is I actually have been using that piece in a lot of my quarterly reviews or performance reviews, because client conversations is a kind of a generic term of where a lot of these things, literature pieces are. So I've been attaching those slides about presidential elections to the back of my performance reports, and so, you know, and when I send them out most of this year. So I actually have been using the piece you're talking about.
Well, and what we're dealing with here is facts. We're not dealing with speculation, you know, and I think our clients, and I know it happens to me, get tied up if so-and-so gets elected. I mean, you can go to MSNBC and find people that say if Trump gets elected, markets are going to go up or down, and the same thing for Hillary Clinton. These are just facts, and I think this is a good example, and I'm glad you're familiar with the piece, of what can be your non-review month topic. I sent you earlier in Supernova, and I'll send it to you again after this is over, just ways to find the topics. But you've got way too much going on to try to design these for each individual client. I hope this makes it easier for you. Don't get tied up in just your stuff. You can go in and look at Merrill Lynch or Goldman Sachs or whatever. You don't have to credit either one of those people if you don't want to, and just say talk about something like this that's applicable to everybody.
Are you ever going to let me get a word in here?
I will right now.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think my thinking on this might have been wrong because when I was trying to come up with a topic that was applicable to all, I would think, for example, like long-term care and then liability and mortgage review or something like that. And because I have such a diverse group of clients, anywhere from, you know, people in their 30s to people in their 80s who are in different stages of life, I got frustrated thinking, well, you know, half of my clients either, you know, don't care about, you know, this particular topic or it doesn't apply to them. So that's why I kind of got frustrated with trying to find a topic that would be for everybody this month. Does that make sense?
Makes all the sense in the world. Let's say that you want to talk to everybody about long-term health care, just to use an example. That doesn't fit everybody.
Right.
But you could say to yourself, I have 10, 15 people I want to talk to about long-term care, and then the rest of the people get the non-review month topic. I just want you to make the most efficient use of your time. It would be uncomfortable for me to be talking to a 35-year-old entrepreneur about long-term health care. Do you see what I'm saying?
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you would say, like, if I wanted to have long-term care for next month, theoretically, that would be the topic, but then I would have an alternate topic for those who I felt like that wasn't applicable for. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying you have that flexibility. You can always there are other times during the month you can talk to your client. We've had a client say, well, can I call you when the FA talks about the 12 calls? No, you're not limited. That's a minimum expectation. You can always call me. So what I'm saying is if long-term care is something you want to get out to, you know, 30% of your practice, maybe the most efficient way to do it is on your non-review month, and then the other people have a general topic.
Well, let me ask you about that. When you say the non-review month, what we did was we staggered everybody so that the idea is we didn't want everyone's quarterlies to fall in the same month.
Right.
Does that make sense? That's
exactly the way to do it, Abraham.
Okay, good.
If you didn't stagger it, you'd get killed time-wise.
Right.
4 months a year. That's the perfect way to do it.
Okay, good, good. All right, well, that makes good sense, and I appreciate that.
Good. I'd find something today. I mean, we're still we're not even halfway through September. I'd look for something that has broad applicability today and use it for the rest of the month.
Yeah.
And then you never want to go into the next month. You don't want to go into October without that topic already decided.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I found ends up happening is that either my calls go like an hour and it's hard to, you know, limit it to the hour because there's like a lot to talk about, or my calls are going 10 or 15 minutes because, you know, the guy is a pretty simple situation, you know, just has investments with me. He's retired. There's no real need. We did a plan or a plan doesn't make sense or whatever. So, you know, it's kind of a 10 or 15 minute touch base. Or, you know, perhaps I have a guy with a much more complicated situation where, you know, we end up going the full hour.
Well, that's why you set aside an hour for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I want you to be aware of is your non-review month calls should most of those should be 5 to 15 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, if there's a 9/11, and I hate to use that as an example,
mm-hmm.
the day before your calls, those calls are probably going to take a little bit longer. But in general, they should be a call. You should say, I've got something I really want to discuss with you before I get started. Is there anything that you would like to discuss first? No, everything's good, Abraham. Well, what I'd like to talk about today is, and then you go in. And what you're going to find, Abraham, is that these non-review calls, some of them are going to be longer, not because you talk longer, but because the client has questions.
Yeah.
Or the client will present you with an opportunity. And what can happen on these calls is you want to always be looking for an opportunity to start a referral conversation. Abraham, I really appreciate you bringing this thing up on the elections. It's really been eating at me. I watched one channel and you're welcome. I just love the communication we have, Ms. Jones. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of communication?
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
I do.
Okay, good. I hope that simplifies everything.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
Good. As you look back on the first 12 weeks, this is our first of 9 monthly calls. As you look back on the first 12 weeks of Supernova, what do you think you have implemented best? What are you most proud of that you've gotten done?
Well, I would say that the structure and the communication with respect to putting that in place and making sure that my my best clients all are getting, really all my clients are getting great service.
Terrific.
Yeah.
What's the thing that when you look back you need to polish a little bit more?
You know, two things immediately come to mind. One is the referral conversation, and two is the follow-up process after client calls or meetings.
So you've had a call, a scheduled call with a client. What happens at that point? What do you do with that folder? Are you talking logistics here?
Yeah, I mean, I've got what's been happening is that I've got folders that are, you know, that have. I mean, I've got my drawer where the folders are alphabetically between meetings, and then I've got my drawer that's like a holding on-deck drawer for, like, the calls that are for today, and then I've got the follow-up drawer. And, you know, I've got just, like, a mountain of folders in the follow-up drawer that I'm just struggling to get on top of and to get through. And, you know, like, sometimes, I mean, I'm looking at the calendar, and tomorrow I have a call with a guy I met with last month, and I still don't think I've really done much by way of follow-up. So, you know, part of it is realizing it's a process, it's going to happen over time. You know, I don't have to address every single issue right this, you know, immediately. But, you know, I definitely feel like there's just a mountain of financial plans and follow-up work to do for clients and prospects.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is good. That means you're busy. Yeah, that means you're
right.
Good busy. But
right.
let me give you a process that you might want to use or you might want to refine. Think of this as a big circle. So here's where we're going to start in the circle. You've got you walk in the morning. And you've got three folders, which represent you got three folders on your desk or in your drawer,
mm-hmm.
Whichever that those represent the three Supernova calls you have for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So the best practice is for you to know the night before what's on your schedule tomorrow. Now, the reason I suggest that is
I'm with you on that.
Say it again?
I'm with you on that. I've been doing that.
Yeah, and what that allows you to do, and I talk – my dentist has a very streamlined practice, and I talked to his practice manager, and he described what they do, and he said, I always let the doctor know what he's got tomorrow in case it's a complicated procedure, he'll have time to think about it. So you've already got that one down. So you finish your call. Now, there you know on the fifth part of your blue folder, that's your agenda for that call, correct?
Yep.
You might not get to everything. Let's say you're implementing a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say there's 12 things that you've got to get done to fully implement that plan. Remember, that's part of your brand, a fully implemented plan.
Right.
So what you do is you prioritize those,
mm-hmm.
and you start knocking them off one at a time. And what you don't get done this month, in this example, becomes an agenda item for next month.
Right.
Now, when you finish with this call, if there are things to do, they're going to be things for you, or it's going to be for Anthony. I mean, those are the only. I mean, in general, if somebody has got a change of address, somebody whatever, that's something for Anthony to do. So when the call is over, on your task list, on your Outlook,
mm-hmm.
put that in there. Put it in your task. If it's something for Anthony to do, then put it, leave him a note. The first thing he's going to do when he gets that folder is he's going to go to the agenda. And if there's anything, you will have left something in there. If there's anything for him to do, you're going to have left him a note.
Well, that is one. That is one issue that I probably need to tighten up. Is that I've been the custodian of my folders. Anthony hasn't been. So that hasn't been putting them on my desk in the morning or anything like that. So I've been the one that's handling the folders, and I can see where it might make sense to get him involved doing that.
Well, it does make sense. Number one, because I don't want you doing that. You've got your time is better spent thinking and talking to clients. The other, I want him to be involved in the process. So in this example, there's something for him to do in there. Miss Jones, please send out X whatever to Miss Jones. And you put it right there in that fifth page where the agenda. Now, the first thing he does when he gets that folder is he looks on the fifth in that fifth divider. If there's nothing in there, then he's going to refile it.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm finding happens is, Anthony has a great attitude, and he is for sure diligent. But with three other FAs, I mean, what I'm finding is he's kind of bogging down just on the administrative stuff that I've been giving him, you know, because I'm now generating a whole lot more volume of tasks for him. So I've been, I guess, hesitant to turn over the folders to him, too.
Anthony's been one of the most involved client associates
that
I've ever worked with. He's in the top 10.
I agree.
Here's what he needs from you, Abraham. He needs to know what your priorities are. And the way to think about that is if Anthony could only do one thing for me, what would it be?
Right.
If Anthony could only do two things for me, what would it be? So you'd be surprised. There were times when FAs and CSAs weren't getting along or the work wasn't efficient, and I would ask the CSA, I said, what do you think Bill's most, you know, three biggest priorities are? And she'd tell me, and then he'd tell me what they are, and they didn't match. So you've got to tell him what you want to do. If you're thinking about him putting three folders on your desk before he leaves at night, isn't that big a deal?
Mm-hmm.
Now I know CSAs. You know, if everybody says this isn't a big deal, if you got 20 of them, it's a big deal. But tell him what you need. He can't. You don't want him to waste time trying to figure out what's on your mind. So I bring him in. Say I was talking to Rob, talking about the efficiency. I think it'd be more efficient if we did it this way. So you have an outbox on your. There's either an outbox on your desk that's just for folders, or there's an inbox on Anthony's desk just for your folders.
Right.
So when you're finished, I would put an inbox on his desk so he didn't have to come in and get it. When you're finished with a call, you make the notes for yourself. You make the notes for Anthony, and then it goes into his desk and what you into his inbox for your files, and then you have to trust that he's going to get it done. If it doesn't, if you don't hear anything about that folder, the next time you'll see that folder is next month, or if a client calls and you want to have that folder in front of you when you talk to the client. But having them in your office, or at least under your control, isn't a good idea.
Yeah, I suspected as much.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you know, you're generating more work. You're working harder than you were.
Yeah.
What's going to happen, and I don't know if you feel it yet, but things will slow down, Abraham, because you get in this ritual where it's just what you do, and it's the same for him. You're giving him more work, but that work's going to slow down just because there's not that much work to do for a client every month.
Yeah, I mean, that's the promised land that I see out there that I haven't gotten to. If anything, it feels like I've bogged down more than – I mean, it feels like my workload has increased, not decreased.
Well,
I do know this is a temporary situation. That's temporary.
It is. And you know what inertia means, right?
Sure.
Just think about this. I don't know if you've ever done it, but sometimes you've had to, in my earlier life, I've had to push a car to get it started. You know, somebody pops a clutch and off it goes. And you have to really bow your back at the beginning to get it moving. But once you get it moving, you just have to apply steady pressure. You see that picture?
I do. I do. And that,
you're bowing your back. You're bowing your back right now. And what I would suggest you do with Anthony is look for ways to tell him he's doing a great job. Boy, Anthony, I really appreciate you getting all this done. I couldn't imagine doing this without you.
Great point.
Nobody's ever going to say you're giving me way too much. You're saying way too many good things about me. Stop immediately. And let me tell you one other thing that is really important. I make notes after every call. If I talk to you and then I talk to two other people, by the end of the day, if I wait until the end of the day to make notes on your call, they won't be specific enough. I won't have specific recall. So take and force yourself to do it, because sometimes you're just tired or bored or whatever. Just force yourself to take 5 or 10 minutes and make notes. It'll if I make good notes on this call, and I will. The next time we call, it's going to all flow. I'll be able to follow up on things, and you will know that I'm paying attention to your relationship and my relationship. It's the same with clients. Take the time to take notes, all right?
Well, Rob, you know, one of the frustrations I've had has been that, like yesterday is a great example of this. Can you hear me? Because it seems like the call might be kind of cutting in and out.
There is a hum in the wire, and that's why they're working on it. I can hear you. Okay. I can hear you. I can hear the hum too.
So what's been happening is I've been having a lot of appointments outside the office, and yesterday was a great example. I mean, I had a 10 o'clock appointment up an hour away from me, so I left my home at 9 because it didn't really make sense to come in before the office. But, you know, and this was a quarterly review that theoretically should have been over the phone. But, you know, this guy likes personal attention, and, you know, there was enough on the plate. I'm trying to convert some accounts to managed, and I knew that might be the conversation. Plus, I was presenting his financial plan update, which I did. Then I felt like it was worthwhile to do it in person. But, you know, it was an hour up there, and then there was traffic and all that. He shows up, you know, half an hour late. I get back to Miami, you know, the meeting lasts 2 hours. We end up having lunch. I get back to Miami by 2 o'clock with traffic just in time for my 2 o'clock conference call, which I did. And then I had a 7 o'clock dinner meeting with a prospect that was, again, an hour away, which turned out to be an hour and a half drive. So by the time I get home at, 10 o'clock at night, I'm, you know, exhausted and really ready to kill somebody after sitting in Miami traffic for a combined 3 hours or more. And, you know, I've got a stack, you know, a couple of folders from the 10 o'clock, like the 10 o'clock guy. I haven't even touched the folder or had a chance to, make my notes or debrief mentally from until this morning when I finally had a chance to catch my breath. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, I think I got to have less out of the office meetings.
Well, here's the flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
If let's say, you know, we got 12-4-2, and the two are the in-person reviews.
Yeah.
On a one-off basis, somebody who is scheduled for an in-person review, and this is normally a problem when you go out to see them, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
You say, Ms. Jones, would it be possible for us to do this quarterly review over the phone instead of in person?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fine with them because, I mean, it's a one-off. It's not violating your brand. So I would have no trouble doing that. I don't feel like you're softening your brand at all. What's going to soften your brand, Abraham, is for you to be worn out. It's 10 o'clock. You haven't had a decent meal. You haven't had a chance to exercise, and you're mentally fatigued, and you wake up mentally fatigued. That's what's going to soften.
The irony of all this is I was exhausted, but I didn't sleep well last night. So now I'm, and you might have even noticed kind of an edge in my voice, which is I'm grumpy.
And yeah, you were a little grumpy.
Tempered. Yeah, and I apologize.
But
the point is, I mean, I'm coming into work this morning, grumpy and surly, and, instead of focusing on the great stuff that's happening and using that as fuel to drive me on, and I realize there's a lot of great stuff happening, but, I've got that frustrated and, like, what's the point of all this feeling this morning, which is not a great start, a great place to have, a mental state for the day.
Remember what we talked about with Jim Lehrer? Remember we talked about Jim Lehrer's book. Do you remember that?
What's the title? I don't recall the author's name.
Gosh, you asked me that, and I'm drawing a blank. I'm going to walk across the room.
It's
talking about managing your energy. The Power of Full Engagement is the book.
Okay, sure. I'm with
and
you.
In that book, he says you need three things to work efficiently. You need diet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to eat well. Exercise,
mm-hmm.
and that's a couple of cardios a week. That's not going out and, powerlifting. And sleep, and he says that's around 7 hours. There's a school of thought, less hurts you and more hurts you. I mean, if you sleep 12 hours a day, that's bad. So he says if you don't get those three things, you're going to have trouble working with a high level of energy.
Right.
So what you've described to me is a great day, and if that's a one-off deal, let's say you have a day like that once a month, that's okay. You can do that. Because it's an exception. But if you're doing that 4 days a week, you're going to kill your energy level. You'll feel it. The people around you will feel it, mm-hmm. and most importantly, your clients will feel it.
I'm coming in on Saturdays and a lot of times Sundays, too, to try and get caught up on shit. So, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
run down.
Yeah, you are. And you, mm-hmm. you work so darn hard, and you're doing such a good job that, now if you got to keep your energy level up. I will tell you that you are going to be more efficient if you aren't working on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you say, well, Rob, that's easy for you to say. It is easy for me to say because I know it's true. The trick is being able to execute that. Some of it will slow down just because you've got supernova the structure in, and now you get the hard stuff done. But the next thing to think about is reducing the number of clients. That's how you create the time. So I don't. Was yesterday a good day from a business point of view?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So let's focus. focus on that and make time to do the things that energize you.
Mm-hmm.
Lair says the old paradigm is downtime is wasted time.
Mm-hmm.
The new paradigm is downtime is good for you. Taking time away is good for you. So
right.
I
mean, like, I'll give you, like, for example, you know, I have no qualms about being out of the office for 4 or 5 hours during the day, during the trading day, as I was yesterday, if need be. But, like, the notion that I would take those same 4 hours and crank out 3 financial plans and just not answer the phone and not turn on Outlook and not turn on the market quote system, for some reason I can't quite do that. But in theory, I mean, a lot of why I'm coming in on the weekends is stuff like, you know, financial plans and things like that, that I feel like I can't get to during the day because there's all these interruptions and distractions, and how can I, you know, not answer the phone or, you know, not see what the market's doing. But I think that's a discipline I need to get better at in terms of time blocking.
You do. You always got to apply common sense. The reason you're going to fee-based business is it's more efficient for the client and it's more efficient for you. If you're there for the market open or closed, who really cares?
Right.
I know that's an old habit. I'm not trying to downplay the importance of you knowing what's going on. It's just hired people who are really good to make this a lot of your investment decisions.
Well, actually, I do PM, so that's a whole other conversation for another day. But I am managing portfolios myself, and that I think creates another layer of resource utilization in terms of my capacity.
It does. There are trade-offs. You know, you're a little more involved in the process, and I think some clients like that. Some clients don't care. But PM, and that is an issue with FAs, not just at your firm, but at other firms also. If you keep your menu of choices relatively small, it's a pretty efficient process. If you've got you know, 87 stocks you're using, it's not. So here is, if you look back, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going to keep talking if you can. If they cut off the phone, then they have to cut off the phone. If you had today, if you had yesterday to do over again, and you knew a week ahead of time that if you knew today, what is today? Tuesday. Next Tuesday was going to be like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do differently?
I mean, I actually feel like yesterday was there's not much I would have done differently. I mean, I feel like it was important and worthwhile to have the early meeting in the morning, and you know, there was no way I could have really stacked those meetings, even though they were kind of in the same area of town. So I ended up going there, back. There was really no way I could have stacked those meetings because the evening meeting had to be in the evening. And, you know, I feel like I did a good job on the 2 o'clock conference call. So there's really not a whole lot I would do differently.
Could you have taken the conference call from your car?
Yeah, I thought about that. I mean, I did bring all the paperwork, and if I had to, I would have, but I was able to get back here in time to do it here in the office, you know.
Not without stress.
Not without stress, no.
Yeah,
call was with somebody who was pretty well all set up. I mean, she's a nice lady. The accounts are doing fine. There wasn't really a whole lot on the menu for that call, so that was really the least of my concerns yesterday. It seemed like I was going to say more, but I kind of.
Well, but it added stress to your day because you had to fight the traffic to get back by 2 o'clock.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with doing something from the car as long as you, I don't do calls while I'm driving. If I am driving, if my wife's driving, I do it. If I'm driving, I pull over so I don't lose reception and whatever. So there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and there's nothing wrong either, Abraham, on one-off basis to not do a non-review month call. You remember we talked about that process if you're going to be out of the office, and it's a non-review call. Anthony calls the client. Abraham's not going to be able to be on the 2 o'clock call. He wanted me to let you know. Is there anything that I can do for you, or is there anything I can pass on to Abraham? No, everything's good. Well, terrific. We'll talk to you next month. So
yeah, that's actually been great advice. Yeah, we've done that a couple of times, and when a client hasn't been able to make a non-review call, if it's not urgent, we've just rolled it to next month, and that's been great.
Exactly right.
Disrupt the schedule, and it's all good. And
you have the right to control your schedule, just like the dentist does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and tell you what, clients understand that. Every time a client snaps his, you there?
Yeah.
Every time a client snaps his fingers, if you jump, the client is going to have less respect for your time. It sounds like they're getting ready to cut
all
this
right,
thing
sir.
Off. We'll talk next month, and I'm going to send you just some ideas on non-review topics. All right.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Good to talk with you.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.